The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Okay. I lied. Well, I didn't lie. I unintentionally misled you. Okay. Before the break, I was giving you the story about Boston taking down the story of, or the statue of Abraham Lincoln emancipating a slave. But it offended somebody. So we got to take it down. And I promised you I would do some deep breathing exercises. And when I came back from the break, I would be much calmer. I lied because I forgot about the next story I'm going to share with you. And, oh my goodness. The New York Times has just published a glowing review of a new rendition of Handel's Messiah. Now, why would that raise my blood pressure? Well, I don't know about you, but I love Handel's Messiah. All of us know the Hallelujah Chorus. You know, how many people would not recognize the Hallelujah Chorus? Now, much of the rest of it, probably the common, ordinary, everyday American wouldn't recognize the music from it, but it is a masterpiece, almost 300 years old. It has been sung all over the world for 300 years. It is one of the great all-time classical music masterpieces. Well, it's a masterpiece across all genre. And here's the most important thing for me. It's biblical. And it's about Jesus. In fact, the name of the piece is The Messiah. The whole piece is about Jesus. So why would I get bent out of shape about a New York Times glowing review of a new rendition of the Messiah? Well, let me read to you a little bit, and then you decide whether your blood pressure might go up a little bit. A gender-inclusive, polytheistic, multicultural rendition of Handel's Messiah is gaining praise for its LGBT imagery and its reimagining of Jesus as a Muslim woman. Yeah. New York Times thinks it's wonderful. They posted a very glowing, complimentary story about the rendition called The Messiah Complex. Yeah, it's a reimagining of Handel's Messiah. It's called Messiah Complex. It was conducted, quote, in collaboration between the Against the Grain Theater and the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. Now, I have no idea who in the world the Against the Grain Theater is. Have no clue. Maybe some goofy, nutty, off the wall. But it was a collaboration between the Against the Grain Theater and the Toronto, Canada Symphony Orchestra. The piece was made into a 78-minute film of the performance. It is advertised as, and I'm quoting, A daring reimagining of Handel's classic, featuring voices from across Canada. The singers change much of the lyrics, which originally were written by Charles Ginnins, 1700 to 1773, a friend of George Frederick Handel. Ginnins' text is based on scripture. The New York Times writes, and I quote, this is from the New York Times critic, "This is not your grandparents' Messiah." Yeah. The film opens with Britton, Spencer Britton, a gay man singing number two, part of the Messiah, "Comfort ye my people," as he walks through the Vancouver streets in high heels. The film, now, if you're familiar with the Messiah, my wife is extremely familiar with the Messiah. Her high school did it every year, the entire production. And if you're familiar with the Messiah at all, you will remember "Comfort Ye My People." It's one of the most beautiful pieces in the Messiah. The film opens with Spencer Britton, a gay man, singing "Comfort Ye My People" as he walks through the Vancouver streets in high heels. The film shows an LGBT pride flag, an LGBT pride painted crosswalk, and throughout the film, other LGBT imagery. Moments later, an indigenous woman sings, "Thou that tellest good tidings," but tweaks the text, changing God to simply Creator. Later, a Montreal woman, Rehab Chaib, sings, "He was despised," a song that Handel wrote specifically about Jesus. But Rehab Chaib changes the text so that it references her Muslim mother who is seen praying to Mecca. And it changes the words to, "She was despised, despised and rejected, rejected of men, a woman of sorrows." So the words originally penned, referring to Jesus as being despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, it is changed to the mother of a Muslim woman who is seen praying to Mecca. The New York Times posted the story under the headline, and this is a quote from the New York Times, "A Messiah for the multitudes, freed from history's bonds." So the old Messiah was bound to history. Now, again, this is part of the review from the New York Times. This repugnant, blasphemous piece is being portrayed as a Messiah for the multitudes, freed from history's bonds. The New York Times writer called it, quote, "an unabashed celebration of Canadian multiculturalism." You know, if you were listening earlier, I said there are a few phrases, a few principles that I reemphasize over and over and over again on this program. And I was saying earlier, if you follow biblical principles, there is clarity. Once you abandon biblical principles, there is chaos. Here is another principle that I repeat over and over again. The liberal left kills, destroys everything it touches. Here is one of the greatest musical masterpieces of all time, dedicated by the composer of both the lyrics and the music to the Messiah, Jesus, based on the text of the Bible, scripture totally perverted and praised by the New York Times and done in collaboration with one of the world's premier symphonies, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. The left destroys everything it touches. Art, music, culture, government, you name it. Wow. All right. Now I will try to calm down. You're listening to Bob Rittey Live. We'll be right back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Well, I was going to move on to a story about Bill Gates talking about the left, and I will still do that, but before, we got to talk to Frank in Columbus. Now, Frank, listen carefully. I have friends on the air down in Florida today. It's not just us here in Ohio. I've got people in Florida, too. So you got to raise your right hand and promise me that you'll be good and not do anything outrageous today.
Okay, I'm raising my right hand. I have my left hand behind my back and my fingers crossed.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you doing?
I am well. I am blessed.
Can't ask for any more than that, can you?
All right. What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? You were talking earlier about, you know, the statue, another statue coming down. You know, I don't know if you've taken the time with your audience to go over the communist goals that were enumerated in 1963, put in the congressional record. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, very familiar. I have not addressed that with my audience for a long time, and I need to again. It has been too long since I addressed that.
Could you allow me just for a second just to rattle off a couple of these?
Sure.
Okay, so number 22, which basically comes down to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings and substitute it with shapeless, awkward art. Okay, so this is basically what we're seeing, the removal of statues. Okay, control art critics and directors of art museums. Well, we see that happen with the same statues and everything else that are being removed. Let's see, the breakdown of cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, television, and radio. And if anybody speaks out against it, call it censorship. Here's one that you'll probably understand. Infiltrate the churches, replace revealed religion with social religion. You know, are we not seeing that right now?
Yeah.
You know, I could go on and on. Okay, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Now, that's just a couple.
Yeah.
You know, there's 30 of them listed there, and I just, you know,
well,
as you're talking, it came to my mind. And
if you understand history, it is so obvious. Again, I keep saying this, and I really mean it. I'm not an expert on anything, but I have traveled all over the world. I've been in several communist countries and former communist countries, and this is what they do. This is what the far left socialist Marxists do. They try to destroy the culture, the history, the heritage, the lineage by taking down statues and putting up their own statues and so forth. And it's interesting, Frank, I don't know whether you're familiar with Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer was an apologist, a Christian preacher, author, And I suppose you could even call him a futurist. Well, many, many years ago, probably in, it had to be in the mid-70s, he wrote a book called How Should We Then Live? And it was made into a video series. And it is fascinating that back in the 70s, Frank Schaeffer predicted what would be happening in the art world, the culture world, the musical world. And he was absolutely spot on. It's amazing. And in fact, I would recommend anybody in our audience to get the book, How Should We Then Live? You can get it on Amazon, and to get the video series. Hey, Frank, thanks. I need to move on, but I appreciate your call.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. How Should We Then Live by Frank Schaeffer. He was unbelievably right on about what would happen as our culture began to collapse and as we would lose our Christian foundation. It's uncanny how accurate he was in the musical world, in the art world, the rise of the abstract in the art world, the rise of music that makes no sense. Anyway, I would recommend it highly. Oh boy, do I have time? No, I don't have time to get into that. Let me this real quick. This is kind of a potpourri thing. It has almost nothing to do with anything we were talking about before, but I have just enough time to deal with it. You know, the environmentalists are so concerned about the environment. Get this. Environmentalists are becoming extremely concerned about face masks. Here is an estimate from a well-known environmental organization predicting there will be, and I quote, more than 1.5 billion disposable face masks will wind up in the world's oceans this year, quote, polluting the water with tons of plastic and endangering marine wildlife. Yeah. A report cites a global market research report that estimates there have been 52 billion masks made this year, and they are calculating, predicting that 1.5 billion of them are going to end up in the ocean. Yeah. Isn't it fascinating how the left, okay, you know, again, earlier we were talking about, are they effective, the masks and whatever, and there's science that says that they are incredibly effective, there's science that says they don't do anything at all, but the liberal left has been absolutely unanimous in their support of masks. Well, evidently, they are going to be an environmental disaster brought about to a great extent the liberal left. Well, I guess it does go with what I was saying before. Interesting. We'll be back.